I want to show you a picture of a friend of mine that I met in 1994. 1994, we're working in the Dominican Republic. We're working at a camp. We're building this facility to allow churches in the whole country to come to a place in which they can celebrate conferences and conventions. So we're building dormitories. We'll, later on, we're going to build a swimming pool, baseball, field, basketball. So we had a lot of groups doing 94 from Indiana, Illinois, Cincinnati. I mean, many groups, American groups, came down to the Dominican to do this project. I was part of that project because I was helping with the translation during the time. So 94, I got to meet that man that, I mean, you don't see him very well because he was a picture of a picture that I took. His name is Alex. Alex, you got to know this young man was so talented. He was being looked at by some major league organization, baseball, like Kansas City Royals and the Philadelphia Phillies were looking, trying to sign him because he was so talented. He had that talent. And I remember during the camp at 5 o'clock, we stop all the work and then we go to the field to play softball. And not many people wanted to catch a ball that he threw because he was just like a cannon. I mean, Alex was so talented. So 94, I got to meet him, and I heard that, there were some baseballs in the United States trying to bring him up and so that he can play baseball. You know, that's the dream of every Dominican kid, to play baseball in the majors. So that picture was from 96. So in 96, I went back to the camp, and then I saw him around, and I asked somebody, but what happened? I thought that he was 94, that he was going to go and play baseball in the States. What happened? Somebody said, well, it's because of his attitude. And I said, what do you mean his attitude? So, well, sometimes, people have rules and you don't want to follow the rules. I mean, so when I heard that, somebody told me that Alex did not make it to the majors because of his attitude. So you remember somebody said your attitude determines your altitude. In other words, I don't know, maybe you heard the saying, your attitude determines your success in life. Here's an example of a friend of mine in that town in Salcedo, is the name in the Dominican Republic, that he did not make it because he had a bad attitude. And then your attitude in life determines your altitude or your success in life. Now, it's interesting because Paul wrote to a church in Philippi. We have a book in the Bible called the Philippians. We're going to be looking at a text in Philippians chapter 2. So you got your Bibles, go there. We're going to spend some time there. Because looking at Paul, he highlights this attitude of Jesus that each follower of Jesus is to portray in life. And notice the language. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading the ESV. Paul says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, the word participation, maybe your translation would say any fellowship of the Spirit, that's the same word, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That portion of scripture, you don't find it anywhere else in the Bible. Scholars talk about that this is a hymn that was circulating in some of the churches, and Paul used that. And it's a beautiful portrait of Jesus. I mean, look at the language. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from love, any participation or fellowship in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, then Paul says, then you're going to complete my joy by being of the same mind, when you have the same purpose. I mean, imagine as a church leader, what a joy Paul planted that church in Philippi, and now he can write from prison, by the way, and realize you're making me happy to know that you are in one purpose, in one mind, that you have that, you united in love. I love the rendition of the New American Standard Bible, NASB. It says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the spirit, intent on one purpose. See, Paul talks about how his joy will be complete. The word complete is the word to be perfected, to be made perfect. My joy will be perfect. If I hear you guys are one in spirit, joy. I mean, imagine that for some of us, our parents, when our kids, they all get along well. Isn't that, I mean, you feel proud as parents, like, look at my kids. You know, they reflect you when they're misbehaving. You know, you don't want, you know, people say, where did they get the attitude? Maybe from the mom or the dad. You know, you both. You know what I mean? And so, because we want them to reflect our attributes. And so Paul will be happy when his, you know, followers, in a sense, I mean, the church that he planted, almost like he calling my children, that they will be wanting my, the same love, united in purpose. And then he goes on to remind them of the attitude of Jesus. Now look at verse 3 and 4. Some of those verses, I mean, you read sometimes something in the Bible, and honestly speaking, it's almost like, man, this is hard to do. Here's one of those verses when he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. The word conceit is excessive pride or vanity. I'm doing that because I'm vain. You know, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vanity, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves. I mean, think about that. It's like Paul, are you serious right now? I mean, do you mean to say that? And then he said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of other people. It's interesting. Everything that Paul is saying is already portraying Jesus' attitude. These verses truly highlight how Jesus served other people. He did not serve out of selfish ambition. Jesus' service was selfless, unselfish. He did not serve because he was vain or had vanity or pride. He served because, remember, he said, I came to not to be served, but to serve. And look at his humility even through his service to others. Now, we too are to consider Jesus' attitude of unselfish service when he served other people. Now, think about it. We are to examine ourselves. What is our motivation when we serve other people? I mean, for a lot of people, sometimes because they want to get a compliment or a pat in the back, like, you know, I did that, maybe it makes you feel good. Is that why you do it? Or you do it because you're looking at them even before you think about yourself, and just, it's the right thing to do. You just serve people. And when you look at Jesus, how he did, I mean, even washing the disciples' feet, they did not get that, because it's like nobody, no rabbi in the first century would you ever see washing his disciples' feet. But Jesus did it. And even Peter had trouble with that. It's like, what? You're changing roles, Jesus. What's going on? Just say, I'm setting you an example that you do with other people the same way. You call me master and teacher, and that's true. So Jesus, you see that? He did not care about his title. He was able to humble himself and just get dirty, washing the filthy feet of the disciples. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I really struggle with that verse. I remember when I went to a Bible college, I was playing baseball. And, you know, the coach would come and tell me, like, oh, you got some skills, you know. So, you know, I came to play baseball, but I'm a freshman. And I noticed that when you're a freshman, they don't give you a lot of time to play. So I'm playing over there, and I'm thinking, like, okay, you told me I have some skills, but why am I not in the game? You know, and it took me a while, like, to realize, like, you need to be humble yourself. You know, yes, you have the skills, but maybe your attitude right now is not right. And so you're benched. And, you know, that was like, okay, you told me that I have more skills than the guy that you play, and then why am I not playing and he is? And, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, what kind of attitude are you going to portray? And it was good that I was benched to be taught humility over there. That yes, you have the skills, but what is the attitude you're going to portray right here? So think of others. Think of other people's interests before you even think about yourselves. And when I think about Jesus, that's exactly what he did. Look at what Paul says in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The NIV said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus. Now, what kind of attitude did Jesus have? That'd be the question that you and I need to wrestle and ask ourselves. What kind of attitude did Jesus portray? I mean, we already talked about his service. You know, I do believe, honestly, to say that Jesus Christ was humble does not do justice to him. To say that he was humble, because, I mean, the man was humble. You know, he was invited to a wedding. Nobody knew he was even there. You know, like there are people that they have to make their presence known when they come, because, you know, it's like they're the center of attention. Jesus was there, did a miracle, and only a few people knew he was even there. Low, very humble man. Now, Paul portrays this idea of humility. Look at what Jesus did. Let me read for you verse 5 and 6. And it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. I mean, when you think about humility and what Jesus Christ himself did, he did not consider equality with God. Jesus, who being in the nature of God, did not consider equality with God. Let me translate that for you. Jesus did not take, you know, he gave up the privilege of heaven. He gave up the rights, the glorious rights that he had in heaven, to come down to earth. You know how humble that is? That you're giving up your right for somebody else? You know, in our society, I mean, we know and we have a lot of rights, but some people are like, oh, this is my right. And I got, you know, Jesus Christ, I mean, being God in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Like, no, I'm God, and you better, you know, do what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Jesus never told people, do what I'm telling. You know, so, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This idea of empty himself of the rights, in other words, Jesus did not use his rights as God to his own advantage. And he could have. You know how many of us, if we get the power that Jesus had, we would never walk, we just like teleport, go somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, and you would be able to know everybody's thoughts. You know, Jesus did not do that. Now, occasionally, because there was a Pharisee who invited, Jesus knew exactly what he was thinking. So he emptied himself. The word empty means that he deprived himself of his own rights as God. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that he gave up being God. The rights as God, he did not use that power that he had to his own advantage. Jesus did not lose his deity. He was 100% man and 100% God. But think about this. God becoming a man, don't you think that's lowly enough? God, I mean, Jesus Christ, if you know his birth, you want to know about humility? The Son of God being born around animals in a stinky place. I mean, come on, please. You know, our babies are born in hospitals. And you know, if you are a king, you should be born in a castle. And that's the best place you have for the Son of God? Think about, I mean, the Son of God comes and he becomes as a servant. I mean, look at the people Jesus hang out with. So, he did not use his heavenly rights to his own advantage. You see, this is what scholars call the incarnation, God becoming one of us, God moving into our neighborhood. And he wasn't acting like a superhero, you know. I mean, it's just like, that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a tough time believing that Jesus was the Messiah, because it's like, but you would know your family. I mean, come on, you're the carpenter's son. Even though everybody else says, like, man, when he teaches with authority, not like the teachers of the law. And Jesus, the humble servant, becoming a man. Truly, that is him depriving of his glorious rights. Because he didn't become a superman, he was just a servant. That's how Jesus came. Jesus lived as and served those who were outcasts, those who nobody liked to hang out with. Those were his best friends. I mean, his buddies were fishermen. There was a tax collector, and tax collectors were hated by society. Those were Jesus' friends. He did not come for the elite. So you already see like how this man is, I mean, he humbled himself. Now, this idea of humility, I'm reading this book entitled Core 52. And I was reading it this week, and it struck me because Mark E. Moore talks about the biblical idea of humility. He said this, biblical humility is not so much about how you feel about yourself. It has much more to do with how you treat other people. Biblical humility is more how you treat other people. And so you can say, oh yeah, I'm humble. No, you can say all you want, but if you don't treat people like Jesus did, you ain't humble. Because, you know, look at the humility of Jesus, that he, being God, decided to become a servant. And, you know, this idea of Christianity and Jesus, you know, is always backward. In the sense that if you want to be great, you want to be a servant. If you want to be first, you want to be the last. You know how many of us, like, we don't want to give the rights on my pew. Like, you know, I at one time churches had, like, that pew. Nobody sits over there because that, you know, this is my pew. And so they get mad when somebody else comes. Like, you know, so humility is like, you can have it anytime. You know, I'm not going to debate you. Or maybe you can have the parking space over there. You know, like, you know, out of love for that. Or maybe you can have this. You can have, you know, you open the door for somebody. No, don't. You can have my seat. You know, even on the train, people now don't even respect older people. Sometimes you see older people and pregnant women standing on a train. And people on the devices right here, like, humility would say, you can have that seat. Because why? That's exactly what Jesus would have done, wouldn't it? So, he humbled himself. Humility is more how you treat other people than how you view yourself. And look at Jesus. Think about how Jesus associated with the lowly, the outcast, how he served without expecting anything in return. Jesus never used his power and authority to his own advantage, but only for the service of other people. He was a humble man. And Paul is writing to the church to say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being a very nature of God, did not hang on to that power, but he gave those rights and came down to earth to live just like you, to walk the street, to get dirty, to feel hunger just like you, to sympathize with your own pain. And Paul goes on and says he was even obedient to the point of death. Even his death was a humiliation to Jesus. They treat him as a criminal. He was between two thieves. Even there, you know, you would have thought, you would have thought, if we want to kill the Son of God, maybe we can give him a nice death, a nice execution, maybe, or maybe a nice burial. Who ended up burying Jesus? Not even his own family. Paul said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. When I read that, that's what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the whole passage is the suffering servant. Isaiah 53:7 said, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I love the interaction between Jesus and Pilate. You know, Pilate, the Roman governor, was ready to free Jesus because I examined Jesus, he has done anything wrong. But the Jewish people still say, no, he needs to crucify him. So Pilate said to Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus finally said, for that purpose I was born. And he's a king, and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I could call legions of angels and they would fight on me. Jesus could have done that in any moment. And I hope you understand that Jesus could have come down from that cross any moment at the shouting of people, come, you save others, save yourself. Come down, you're the Savior. He could have done it just like that if he wanted to, but he did not take advantage of his own rights. He did not use his own power to his own advantage, because you know what kept Jesus on that cross? You know what did? Your sins and my sins. And Paul says he humbled himself to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus was a humble servant. He demonstrated it through his serving other people. He served not just Jewish people, he served Phoenician people, Samaritans, and many of the Jewish people did not understand that about Jesus because his life was all about unselfish service. And I pray that I can always be like that, like Jesus. You know, in the 90s, everybody wanted to be like Mike, like Michael Jordan. So I think you and I as Christians, the moment you become a follower of Jesus, you and I ought to be like Jesus in every, love like Jesus, serve like Jesus, imitate Jesus' attitude, because that's what we've been called to do. Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. And look what happened after that, because that's not the end. Therefore, look at the following verses, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, after his humility, Paul now talks about his exaltation. Remember what he talks about? It's a time now for me to be glorified. Glorified is like to be honored, to be exalted. So Paul talks about his humility, how he just lowly, how he emptied himself, came down to earth and lived with common people, the poor, the lowly, the outcast. And then he served them unselfishly. And then he humbled himself to the point of death, but death was not the end. God has highly exalted him. So when I'm reading that, in that whole passage, you see the whole idea that when you're humble, you are exalted. Isn't that what the Bible says all the way from Scripture, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself before God so that in due time he might lift you up. Jesus humbled himself, and then look at the connecting word, therefore. Because of what he did, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. I love that, because wasn't it after the resurrection that Jesus told the disciples, all authority has been given to me. Remember that? The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, said, all authority has been given to me. Jesus saying, in other words, I'm in charge. Therefore, go and make disciples. So all authority, and then John talks about all the judgment. Jesus is going to be the judge, and the Lord, he's going to be the whole package, because now he's the resurrected Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So look at the power in his name. We'll bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. Everyone will have to bow down to the name of Jesus. So look, because he's exalting, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the picture you get in Revelation. You know, the 19, the rider and the white horse. And he's waging war to the nation. I mean, he's not a baby. He's not a humble king. Now, he's the ruling king now. Not the humble king. He's going to be the ruling king now because he's being exalted to the highest place. He said Jesus was exalted to the highest place. But before he was exalted, he lived a humble life. He served unselfishly. He did not use the rights. He had a lot of rights and authority. He did not use his power to his own advantage. Like I said, Jesus could not even walk, you know, a street if he didn't want to. He can just teleport if he wanted to. And he could have come down from that cross any moment if he would have gotten mad at those people. And he did not. And to me, it's like, thank you, Lord, that you were still obedient to the point of death. When they were insulting Jesus, come down from the cross. You say, you think it was the nails keeping Jesus over there? It was his love for you and I that kept him there, because he said, it is finished. I'm going to accomplish my mission that I set out to do. And he died. And then 3 days later, grave could not keep the Son of God. And he resurrected. God exalted him to the highest place and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. No wonder the apostles used the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that that man that was crippled now can walk. It is in the name of Jesus that was broken can be restored. Because there's power in that name. He dedicated his life to serve other people. He was humble even to the point of death. And therefore, God exalted him. Like I said, this is what the Bible teaches about God opposing the proud, but giving grace to the humble. Jesus Christ is always going to be a role model. Ellie mentioned a little bit about that. He's going to be a role model for serving other people. You want to know how to serve people? Look at Jesus' example. You know, and people that today even struggle with racism, look at Jesus. When anybody else would neglect the Samaritans, not Jesus. He's always going to be the greatest example how what love is all about, how to live love truly. Jesus is the portrayal of what true serving God and loving people it's all about. Consider Jesus' attitude. Then see how he was exalted to the highest place. Consider him, and you know, I will go even further. Don't just consider Jesus, imitate him. Try to imitate what he does. Remember, I think it was in the 90s, there was a bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so a lot of people sometimes, before you chase that guy that cut you off, it's like, what would Jesus do? You know, like, I mean, that would keep us from a lot of issues and struggle. We were just like, how would Jesus respond to that? Consider his attitude and get ready to live it out. That should be our prayer for all of us, that we live out his attitude. Because you know how many times we hang on to our titles or to our careers, and it's like we, you know, like people, you know what I mean? Like we're a walk above everybody else, not Jesus. And he could have done it. I mean, he had more power than anybody else. And it's like, that's why I hate the word reverent, by the way. The only one that should be revered is God. All of us are, yes, we have different abilities and gifts, pastor, teachers, but we all the same in God's standard. We're still his servants. That's what Paul told the Corinthian church. Who's Apollo? Who's Paul? We're just servants of God. You know, because there were people say, well, I follow Paul. No, I don't want you to follow me. I'm going to follow Jesus, and we all should be following him. He's the ultimate role model for all of us. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, in humility, in serving, in loving. Because when we imitate Jesus on this earth, guess what? Guess what's coming next for all of us? The exaltation. You remember the words of Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant? What do you think that is? You've been exalted because you've been living humble lives on earth. And then what's next? The exaltation, that you're gonna be standing at the right with him in glory. You're gonna be glorified with him. We too will be exalted and glorified by Jesus. But in the meantime, we're gonna walk like he did. We gotta love like Jesus loved. We gotta serve people like he did. And like I said, many of us might struggle mightily with that, serving people like Jesus, because, you know, sometimes we don't want to serve those ones who have offended us or don't like us for whatever reason. And, you know, let me be honest with you. You know what keeps me going doing this thing? It's Jesus. Because if I just listen to what people say sometimes, I'd be discouraged all the time. And you know, I always tell people they don't want to be a preacher because I saw what my dad went through. And you know, later on, kind of God called me to be a preacher. And yes, we're going to go through a lot of things. People might talk about you all the time. They might not like you. They did it to Jesus. And he said, focus on me. Because, you know, Jesus later on had to deal with those people. He's going to have to deal with you. My job is to proclaim the gospel. And because there will be some that will hear. And so, as long as I live, I say, Lord, I want to preach the gospel, but help me, because, you know, we all struggle sometimes with humility. We all struggle sometimes not only serving and loving those ones who love us back. And I say, Lord, I want to love even those ones that hate me or talk trash about me. Lord, I want to love those ones that, I mean, because you did it. You love those ones that said, crucify you, and you still, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And I think, my friends, as long as you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you will be okay. You will be all right. And you know, I think he has to be the model, because he went through all that you and I are going through right now. Like a lamb before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought you and I peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen. Man, and God exalted him. And like I said, Jesus is what's going to keep you and I going. In the marriage, make sure you keep Jesus right there too, because that's what's going to cement it. Because there's no other name given to men by whom we're to be saved, that in the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. And Paul says in Colossians that in Jesus all things hold together. So what is Paul writing to the church? He said, you make my joy complete when you imitate Jesus' attitude, when you continue to live Jesus for the people, that they see how you love each other, that they see how you serve people without an agenda. When they see that, God is always keeping count of that. And at the end, he will reward you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then you and I will be exalted. That's what we're waiting for. But in the meantime, we are to continue imitating Jesus' attitude. Consider Jesus, but don't just think upon him. Now you know how he did it. It's going to be our turn now. Consider him, but also imitate his attitude. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we